and welcome to the Matalog School Podcast, Series 9, Episode 5, our final episode of this series. As we head towards the Easter holidays, this will be our last podcast of this term, and as our clubs refresh each term, we'll start a new series once we're back for the start of Series 10 in the summer term. So, on this final episode of the series, here's what we've got coming up. We have news of our recent house maths competition at Manor Lodge. We have features on landmarks, books, Lego, keyboard shortcuts, and a guess the song game. Plus our regular teacher interview, which this week is with one of our reception teaching assistants that joined Manor Lodge this year, Mrs. LeCourt. Let's get things started with Luxe in Year 5 to tell us all about our recent house maths competition.
Hi, my name is Luxe and I will be talking about the maths house competition. It took place on Wednesday, the 12th of March. Years 4, 5 and 6, 3, 4 and 5 competed for their house to win a shield. Everyone had been split into groups of about 3 or 4 within their houses. There were 4 maths tasks. Each task had 5 levels. You had 10 minutes to complete as many levels as you can. An example of a task is Make 24. You had to make 24 by using the numbers given. Another is Broken Calculator, where you needed to use the calculator to make the numbers, except there are only a few numbers and one operation. You have to try and make one number with what you had. Now, the results. In fourth place was Centaurs. In third place is Griffins. Second place was Phoenix. And Unicorns won. Thank you to Mr. Steele for organising this competition and the Year 6 for helping too. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Next here is Shaq and Roshan from Year 4 with the top 10 favourite books for kids.
Hello, my name is Roshan and I'm here with Shaquille and we're going to tell you the top 10 books for kids.
Number 10, Epic Factopia. On this epic fact trail, you will dine inside a volcano and water slide through a shark-filled lagoon. You will meet a cat worth $97 million, a goat who can ride a surfboard, and a dead devilo who skydived from space.
Number 9, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, No Brainer. This book is a really good book because Greg Heffley has to go through lots of challenges, but luckily he solves them.
Number 8, I Can't Even Think Straight. Kai is going into a new school year with some big decisions to make. What he wants to do in life and what he wants to date. Is it any wonder he can't think straight? Best friends Matt and Kai made a promise to each other to say in the closet. Matt isn't ready to come out, but Kai wants nothing more than to write his own story. He decides it's time to take a break. His promise and shown his true self to the world.
Number 7, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Diaper Overload. In this book, Greg Heffley has to try and help his brother and his band to win the Battle of Bands, but he doesn't know anything about music.
Number 6, Felix and the Future Agency. When his last prediction comes true, he soon finds himself whisked off to join the secret underground Future Agency. Here, he starts to learn the tools to protect the country from the natural disasters set to befall it.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. In this book, Harry Potter and his friends have to pass challenges to beat Lord Voldemort and claim the Philosopher's Stone and destroy it.
Number 4. Millions by Frank Cottrell Boyce. Since the death of his mother, Damien has become obsessed by saints. In order to escape the trappings of the material world, he builds a hermitage out of cardboard boxes near the railway line. One night, a bag containing 22,000 £229,370 falls from the sky and flattens the hermitage. Damien is convinced it is a gift from God and contemplates with his older brother Anthony the best way to spend it.
Number 3, Boy at the Back of the Class. In this book, a refugee from Syria comes to England but doesn't get treated very well, and his friends are determined to help him.
Number 2, Billionaire Boy by David Walliams. This is a highly readable and funny book. This modern fable follows Joe, a boy who has almost everything he could even want and money can buy, except for a friend, which is very sad.
Number 1, The Hunt for the Golden Scarab. In this book, Sim and his friends travel through time to ancient Egypt to find the golden scarab by facing deadly challenges.
Thank you for listening. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye.
Over to Ethan and Rian in Year 4 now to hear all about Lego.
Hello, I'm Ethan and I'm here with Rian and we're going to talk about Lego. Best person at Lego in the world, Nathan Salway, is re-owned contemporary artist who uses Lego bricks and clues as art medium.
The fastest time to build the Lego Titanic. The fastest time to build the Lego Titanic is 8 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds, and was achieved by Sebastian Howarth, USA, in Springfield, Virginia, USA, on 22nd of May, 2022. Sebastian decided to attempt this record after seeing a video of a similar record title attempt. He surpassed the previous record by over 2 hours.
The Lego Group was founded in 1932 by Ollie Kirk Christiansen. The company has since passed from generation to generation and is to this day still owned by the Kirk Christiansen family.
The biggest Lego ever built is the Tower Gate Bridge replica.
The rarest Lego set.
The rarest Lego set of all time is, drumroll, the exclusive T-Rex.
Four cool Lego sets. First, the Lord of the Rings Rivendell. Second, Millennium Falcon. Third, 354 Gringo Wizarding Bank Collector's Edition. Four, Lion Knight's Castle.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Remember to rate, like and subscribe. And don't forget to tell your friends.
Here are Cody, Ezra and Teddy in Year 5 next with a feature all about famous landmarks.
Hello, my name is Cody.
My name is Ezra.
And my name is Teddy.
And today we'll be telling you 9 famous landmarks.
Number 1, Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco. The Golden Gate Bridge is a suspension bridge spanning the Golden Gate, the 1 mile wide strait connecting San Francisco Bay and the Pacific Ocean in California, United States. The structure links San Francisco, the northern tip of the San Francisco Peninsula, to Marin Country, carrying both US Route 101 and California State Route 1 across the strait. It also carries pedestrian and bicycle traffic, recognised by the American Society of Civil Engineers as one of the wonders of the modern world. The bridge is one of the most internationally recognised symbols of San Francisco and California.
Number 2, Burj Khalifa, Dubai. The Burj Khalifa is a skyscraper in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, with a total height of 829.8 metres and a roof height of 828 metres. It is the world's tallest structure, and it also holds the record of tallest building in the world since its topping out in 2009, surpassing Taipei 101, the holder of that status since 2004. Construction of the Burj Khalifa began in 2004, with the exterior completed 5 years later in 2009. The primary structure is reinforced concrete, and some of the structural steel for the building originated from the Palace of Republic in Eastern Berlin. The building was opened in 2010 as part of a new development called Downtown Dubai.
Number 3, the Pyramids of Giza. The Giza Pyramid in Egypt is home to the Great Pyramids. All were built during the Old Kingdom of Ancient Egypt between 2600 BC to 2500 BC. The Giza Pyramids, also known as the Giza Necropolis, in Egypt is home to the Great Pyramid. This site is at the edge of the Western Desert, approximately 9 kilometers west of the Nile River in the city of Giza, and about 13 kilometers southwest of the city center of Cairo.
Number 4, Gherkin, London. The Gherkin, officially 30 Mary Street, Axe, and previously known as the Swiss Rebuilding, is a commercial skyscraper in London's primary financial district, the City of London. It was completed in December 2003 and opened in April 2004. With 41 floors, it is 180 metres tall and stands on the sites of the former Baltic Exchange and the Chamber of Shipping. The building has become a recognisable landmark of London and is one of the city's most widely recognised examples of contemporary architecture.
Number 5, the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is a tower on the Champ de Mars in France. It is named after the engineer Gustave Eiffel, whose company designed and built the tower from 1887 to 1889. Locally nicknamed La Dame de Fer, French for Iron Lady, it was constructed as a centrepiece of the 1889 World Fair, although initially criticised by some of the French leading artists and intellectuals for its designs. It has become a global cultural icon of France, one of the most recognisable structures in the world. The Eiffel Tower is the most visited monument with an entrance fee in the world. The tower is 330 metres tall, about the same height as an 81-storey building, and the tallest structure in Paris. Its base is square, measuring 125 metres on each side. It was the first structure in the world to surpass both the 200 metre and 300 metre mark in height, due to addition of the broadcasting aerial at the top of the tower in 1957. It is now taller than the Chrysler building by 5.2 metres above the ground, the highest observation deck. The tower has 3 levels for visitors, with restaurants on the first and second levels.
Number 6, the Colosseum. Ultimately, from ancient Greek word colossus, meaning a large statue or giant, is an amphitheatre in the centre of the city of Rome, Italy, just east of the Roman Forum. It is the large ancient amphitheatre ever built, and it is still the largest standing amphitheatre in the world, despite its age. Construction began under the Emperor Vespasian, who ruled from 69 to 79 AD, and was completed in AD 80 under the successor and heir Titus, who ruled from 79 to 81 AD. Further modifications were made during the reign of Domitian, who ruled from 81 to 96 AD.
Stonehenge is a structure. Number 7, Stonehenge. Stonehenge is a structure on Salisbury Plain in Wiltshire, England, 2 miles west from Amesbury. It consists of an outer ring of vertical standing stones, each around 13 feet high, 7 feet wide, and weighing around 25 tons, topped by connecting horizontal stones. Stonehenge was constructed in several phases, beginning about 3100 BC and continuing until about 1600 BC. The famous circle of large sarsen and stones were placed between 2600 BC and 2400 BC. The surrounding circular earth bank and ditch, which constitute the earliest phase of the monument, have been dated to about 3100 BC. One of the most famous landmarks in the United Kingdom, Stonehenge is regarded as a British cultural icon.
Number 8, the Sydney Opera House, is a multi-venue performing arts centre in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Located on the foreshore of Sydney Harbour, it is widely regarded as one of the world's most famous and distinctive buildings and a masterpiece of the 20th century architecture. Designed by Danish architect Jørn Utzon and completed by an Australian architectural team headed by Peter Hall. The building was formally opened by Queen Elizabeth II on 20th of October 1973, 16 years after Utzon's 1957 selection as a winner of an international design competition. The Government of New South Wales, led by the Premier Joseph Cahill, authorised work to begin in 1958, with Utzon directing construction. The government's decision to build Utzon's design is often overshadowed by circumstances that followed, including cost and scheduling overruns, as well as the architect's ultimate resignation.
Number 9, the Statue of Liberty, also known as Liberty Enlightening the World, is a colossal neoclassical sculpture on Liberty Island in New York Harbour. Within New York City, the copper-clad statue, a gift to the United States from the people of France, was designed by French sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, and its metal framework was built by Gustave Eiffel. The statue was dedicated on October 28, 1886. Thank you
for listening to our part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Aaron from Year 4 and Siddhartha from Year 6 are here next to tell us about some all-important keyboard shortcuts.
Hello, and welcome to our part of the podcast. My name is Siddhartha.
And my name is Aaron. And today we are going to be talking about keyboard shortcuts.
These are keyboard shortcuts such as
Control plus A equals highlight all.
Control plus H plus search button is color inversion.
Control plus P equals print current page.
Alt plus E or Alt plus F is to show your Chrome menu.
Control plus Enter equals while you're in a search bar to add www.and.com.
Control plus T is to add a new tab.
Control plus C equals copy.
Control plus V is paste.
Control plus X equals cut.
Control plus Tab is to switch between open applications.
Windows plus D equals show desktop.
Windows plus L is lock your PC. Those two aren't for Chromebooks.
Control plus Shift plus ESC equals Open Task Manager.
Windows plus print screen is take a full screenshot.
Now moving on to more shortcuts for your friends.
Slyly click search button and P twice in a row and it will put their Chromebook to sleep.
Control plus Shift plus reload button equals turn screen 90 degrees.
Control plus search button plus M, this magnifies the whole screen.
Alt plus F4 equals save your work.
And also the last one is Control plus Shift plus Alt and the reload button puts your screen in 720 degrees. But don't do it a lot, it'll give you a headache afterwards.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Aaron and Elodie from Year 4 have a Guess the Song game for you now, so do play along at home.
Guess the Song. Today, I'm here with myself, Aaron, and Elodie.
Hi.
And we're going to play a game of Guess the Song.
Let's start with an easy level. Are you ready? Let's go. This is an easy level. Number one. The answer is Opposite by Bruno Mars and Rosé.
Number two. The answer is Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter.
This is medium level. Number three. The answer is Believer by Imagine Dragons. Number four.
The answer is A Bar Song by Shaboozy. This is hard level. Number five.
Doc told me to travel, but there's COVID on the planes. And I heard Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed.
The answer is Stick Seasons by Noah Kahan.
From the screen to the ring to the pen to the key. Where's my crown? That's my bling. Always drama when I ring. See, I believe that if I see it in my heart, smash through the ceiling, cause I'm reaching for the stars.
The answer is Thick of It by KSI.
This is the last one, number 7. The answer is Devil in a Dress by Teddy Swims. Thank you for listening to
our part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
We finish things off with our teacher interview for this episode. Here are Freddie, Roshan and Shaq putting the questions to reception teaching assistant Mrs. LeCourt.
Hi, I'm Shaq.
And I'm Freddie.
And I'm Roshan. And we're interviewing, drum roll please, Miss LeCourt.
What made you want to work in teaching?
Well, I love working with children and I love being part of their development and watching them and helping them grow.
Do you like teaching with the receptions and why?
I do actually. I love teaching all year groups, but I think with reception children, you can really see their development coming along really nicely because they come into school at the beginning of September. Most of them can't read or some can read very little. And then by the end of that first year, they're all reading, they're all writing sentences. So it's quite a big change from the beginning to the end. It's really lovely to see that and be part of that progress.
Have you taught in any other years?
I've taught in every other year, except for year 6, actually. And in fact, at one point, I had my very own year 1 class and my very own year 5 class.
Wow. What school did you go to?
Well, so my primary school was called Woodlands Park. I think it's changed name now, so it's not called that anymore. And my senior school was called Highgate Wood.
Was that like North London?
Yes, North London.
If you could do a different job, what would it be?
So, I like being creative, so a couple of different things. Either something like floristry, I think it's a very nice job, but the only reason why it wouldn't suit me is because I don't like being cold, and often you're working in the cold because you've got to keep the flowers cool. But I love writing, so I would love to be an author. And when I was younger, I used to love reading lots of books, and that really helped with my creativity, and I used to write some really good stories, and I wish I kept that up, and I would love to write books even now.
What's your favourite childhood memory?
So when I was a child, my mum didn't allow us to have pets. And then when I was around 14 years old, I came home from school and we were surprised with a little kitten. So we were allowed to have a little pet cat, which is lovely. And she lived till she was about 20. So she got to meet my oldest two children, which is really lovely.
And the next question is about pets as well.
Okay.
It's pretty.
Do you have a pet? And if you do, what is its name?
Yes, I've got two at the minute. So I've got two dogs. I have a Labrador called Poppy. She's 13. And I have a Husky called Ghost, and he's 4.
What's your favourite song? If you can't decide, you can pick two.
Do you know what? I don't actually have any favourite songs. I like lots of different songs through different periods of times, and that's always changing. So I don't have any particular favourite songs.
Do you have a favourite artist?
No, I don't. Again, I like lots of different artists. So my taste is quite general. I really love songs from the 80s because that's when my childhood was.
What is your dream car?
I'm not really into supercars or anything like that. So I wouldn't have like a Ferrari or anything like that. But I'd quite like a Range Rover Sport because my family is quite big. There's five of us plus the two dogs. So I think that's a nice big roomy car to fit everybody in.
I'm a family of five as well.
Yeah. So you know what it's like when the kids are in the back of the car arguing. Really, you want a car that's big enough to fit all the children in and the dogs and everyone's comfortable.
What is your favourite country that you've ever been to?
I love going to America. I've been to America lots of times. I've visited lots of different places. And the reason why I like it so much is because there's so much to do in one country. If you want a city break, you can go on a city break. Or you can have a beach holiday. Or you can go on an adventure, like in Florida or something like that. And LA particularly is somewhere that I absolutely love visiting. And I'd quite like to live there as well.
What's your favourite country which you haven't been to and possibly want to go to?
So I've done a lot of travelling, but one place I've never been to, which I would really like to go to, is Australia.
Oh, so yeah, because that's like really hot.
My dad's been to Australia for work trips.
Yeah.
Same with my mum.
Because that's, I think you need quite a long time in Australia. And so I have to go during a time where the holidays match up, really.
You could go on a safari, they're really good. In Australia.
Ah, okay.
As in you can see kangaroos and stuff.
That would be cool. I've been on a safari in Africa. That was cool.
Yeah, I'm going on a safari in Africa.
That's really good fun.
What's your dream holiday?
So I think it would have to be a mixture of like some kind of city break followed by something relaxing. So
nice maybe
beach.
Like Sydney.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I've actually been on a holiday like that, which I absolutely love. So a few years back, I went to a place in Texas in America called Dallas, which I'd never been to before. And that was a really cool place to visit. And then from there, we flew to Hawaii, which And that's actually considered to be an American state. So we flew from there, we went to Hawaii, which took out 8 hours to fly to. And then we had a lovely week there relaxing. So it was kind of a mix of both things. So that was a really nice holiday.
That's like how long it is to fly from like England to let's say like Russia.
It's a really long way from America. You think because it's in America, it's going to be nearby. But actually, it was 8 hours from Texas and it's right. It's in the middle of the Pacific. It's like so far away from mainland. But that was lovely.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Texas is here and Hawaii is here.
It is.
Usually you'd think you just go straight. But for some reason, planes have to go all the way around.
They have. That's right. They follow certain flight paths. They can't fly in a straight line, unfortunately.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Bye.
Thank you very much to Mrs. Lecourt for joining us and to you all for listening. But big, big thanks to the children that have worked very hard to produce all the content of this term series. As mentioned earlier, we'll be back next term with a fresh batch of podcasters, some returning voices we've heard before, plus some new ones. Until then, on behalf of everyone at Manor Lodge, I'd like to wish you all a very happy Easter and hope you all have a cracking break. We'll close the show, as always, with music. Our intro music this week was created on GarageBand by Elodie in Year 4 and Sophie in Year 6. And to finish off, here is Sophie from Year 6 again, playing the piece Three Romances on the viola. We'll speak to you again soon.